Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Happy New Year, soldiers! I'm kicking the year off in maximum hoovering style by hoovering Biscoff, which I'd never tried before, from a jar, directly just with a spoon, just spooning it straight from the jar to my mouth, with my personal trainer, who also happens to be an extraordinary athlete, future Commonwealth weightlifter, and impressive, madly impressive young businesswoman, Nicola Stiddard. A lot of people will be starting conversations with fitness experts today, as it's the new year, and I can only hope and dream that they go like this one does. Please may tell other people about the podcast. You can do that by giving it a 5-star review, subscribing to it, and maybe like talking about it on the internet. We're on all the socials as at the Hoovering Pod, and I'm pretty blooming chatty on there when I can be. If you'd like to support the podcast financially, you can do that too. You can just bung it a one-off tenner, fiver, quid, by going to supporter.acast.com/hoovering, or you can help out in a more regular way by becoming a patron. Go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod, and from as little as £2 a month you can get amazing podcast related stuff, including guests, recipes, right through to totally exclusive content, including at some point soon an exclusive Hoovering third birthday party secret special episode just for some of my patrons. If you feel like trying Oddbox, which is the fruit and veg box that I get that gives out wonky or rejected or surplus, it's all perfectly brilliant and amazing though, fruit and veg that supermarkets have rejected or not needed, or restaurants haven't needed for one reason or other. I've got a code you can use to get a tenner off your first box. There's a link in the podcast notes, or follow us on Twitter at the Hoovering Pod, and it's in the bio on there. It makes it only a few quid for your first box. Right, okay. Nicola and I met on the Zooms, as is the modern way, for now, anyway, still. And I loved this conversation. It was such a refreshing one, and so I hope you do too. And once again, Happy New Year, guys. I've just bought some yesterday.
Oh, you've got crunchy. Biscoff.
Oh, have I accidentally gone niche before I've even ever tried the original?
I think so. I think I've only got the original.
Oh,
I didn't know that. I thought they were all crunchy.
No, I don't think I thought crunchy.
This must be like, imagine if someone tried a Kit Kat Chunky, having no idea that it was originally just a Kit Kat.
Yeah, have you tried Marmite Peanut Butter?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, me too. It's amazing.
I mean, I'm a big fan of Marmite and of peanut butter, so it was always going to be a pretty exciting thing for me, the invention of that. Although, I don't know that I like it more than just having Marmite and peanut butter together on some toast.
See, I'd never mixed it together, and I thought it was really weird initially when someone was like, you need to try Marmite peanut butter. And I was like, do I? Really? And then I tried it, and I was like, oh my God. Yeah.
What? Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? It shouldn't work, actually. But it depends. I don't know. I think it depends on if you like your peanut butter really sweet.
Yeah. You know what? It doesn't work in, though. It doesn't work in porridge.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, no Marmite in porridge. No. Oh, no. Yeah, I just stopped and thought about it for a second. There's so many things that Marmite's a secret winner in, like stews and stuff like that. But not porridge.
No. Like normal peanut butter and porridge is great.
Fit. Yeah, but totally.
Not Marmite.
I think porridge can take anything. Personally, I think porridge can take anything that's either neutral to sweet. But anything beyond neutral into savoury, fuck off. Not in porridge.
Yeah, maybe I've
put that. Yeah, no, not convinced there. Some people love salt in their porridge.
Oh, no.
Well, wait, careful, because once I had a guest on this podcast say who would do that to themselves as a joke, and I got some really upset emails from people who were like, I actually really like it. And I was like, okay, you can like what you like. You can eat what you like. Of course there's going to be people that like salt in their porridge. There's people that like Coca-Cola in their cereal instead of milk.
Oh, but it's the other ones... is butter on Weetabix. Have you tried dried Weetabix with butter on?
What?
So I thought this was normal.
Talk me through it.
I thought this was normal. And then I went to university and I think I came in from a night out and I was like, right, Weetabix, butter on it, eating it. And my flatmate was like, Nick, what are you doing? I was like, oh, do you want some as well? She was like, no, that's not normal. But it's because my gran always did it. My gran always had butter on her Weetabix. So I just thought everyone did it. But no, apparently not.
Oh, my God, that's amazing. Do you still do it?
I haven't had it for a while.
Oh, get it. Have it as a nostalgic treat in the cold first days of January.
That's another one for you to try. What a lovely thing. Though.
Yeah, I'm definitely trying that. I'm even making a note.
Write it down.
If I don't write it down, it doesn't happen.
I'm going to take a bite of this.
Let's eat. Well,
am I allowed to eat this?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, please. That's the point. No, imagine the worst podcast ever. Make something delicious, then stare at it. Straight off the bat, having opened this jar of Biscoff, the smell is incredible.
It's great.
Oh my God. I was going to just because. So out I think jar. There's something quite brilliant. There's something so glorious about doing a hoovering with my personal trainer and eating Biscoff out of a jar.
I didn't realise you were actually going to eat the whole thing out of the jar.
Not the whole thing. I mean, it's not that kind of podcast, but I am going to try it just on a spoon to start with. I've got some of my oldest friends back from school in Dorset. When we go on holidays together, even sort of well into adulthood, usually to France, we will buy like one of those pots of Nutella that's like the size of the size of a sort of a mouse's home.
Yeah,
huge, and then and just in with spoons. That's how it's done. And then you take your time over what's on the spoon. But yeah,
That's not allowed anymore. Oh my God, you're not allowed to do that anymore.
Aren't you?
Thanks for COVID.
Oh yeah, we can't all have. What if we have our own spoons and we put them on a 2 meter long stick and the Nutella in the middle of the room? We will find a way, Nick. we got. Oh my God, that's so nice. Oh God,
it's good.
It tastes. I've never had it. I've never had it before. I don't know if the crunch isn't normally there, but the crunch is amazing.
I'm kind of jealous now. I want the crunch.
Oh God, the crunch is great. Oh, get in. Do you know what? I watched that Snack Masters about Kit Kats. I keep talking about Kit Kats a lot, but they were saying how they make the fondant inside is smashed up other Kit Kats.
Oh.
And it feels like that's what they've done here. It's obviously just smashed up Biscoff biscuits mixed in with this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
They do Biscoff Kit Kats now as well.
What?
Yeah, that's the thing.
That feels like the sort of thing that you've told me, but that I'll think about in a few days and go, but did I dream it or is it real?
It's a real thing, but they're really hard to get hold of.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Well, if anybody listening has got like a secret supplier,
let us
know. Get in touch with Catford. Catford women. I'm keen to know. How is yours? Is it nice? You've got banana and Biscoff toasty.
Yeah.
Good.
So good.
Nice. So good.
Say scrum diddly umptious.
No.
And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrum diddly umptious.
Right, we've got a lot to talk about.
Oh, okay.
You're an extraordinary weightlifter and all-round athlete. You're also my PT.
Yeah.
You're the founder and owner of Catford CrossFit. CrossFit Catford, yeah. I think especially why I wanted to talk to you in January, because in January I, for this podcast, try and talk to people who are a breath of fresh air when it comes to the enormous amount of noise there is in the world in January, telling people to do kind of pointless types of restriction in terms of eating that almost inevitably sort of backfire and lead to like essentially a less healthy relationship with even just your hunger and fullness, just to keep it that kind of broad and judgment-free. And I think you are, like, I've never known a PT be such a massive breath of fresh air. Like, when we first met, I gave you my spiel that I'm so used to giving to people that I'm doing anything exercising
you
with.
You did! Like, I remember it!
But I was like, just to let you know, oh, history of eating issues, and I don't want you to tell me anything to do with eating, or what to eat, what not to eat, and I'm not here to change my body. And you were like, yeah, cool, me too. And I was like, all right.
I was like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, good. That's nice.
That's
me too.
Nice.
Yeah, it's so mad though, isn't it? Because I think the majority of people I've had personal trainers before who fundamentally sort of heard that, but then could not get it out of their mind.
Yeah.
But I didn't really just want to shrink. Surely they were like, yeah, we'll get you a bit strong. But actually, like, I don't know, you don't want to look too manly, or you don't want to, like, and it was like, oh.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking how hard that conversation is.
I think that's the difference between, so you've got fitness trainers who have just done fitness and they, you know, they don't necessarily have a sporting background. They've just been to the gym, want to get fit, and then they train other people essentially the same, right? And then you've got trainers that have like a sporting background. So people that have actually trained as an athlete who see it a little bit differently.
Yeah,
but actually,
totally.
That was part of the reason that I moved from just personal training people in like your normal commercial gym into coaching CrossFit.
Yeah, I really. Because CrossFit is so functional and like it's a weird choice of exercise to do purely for aesthetics. Because I think there is, not that it doesn't change your aesthetics if you go in hard and whatever, but you're, so I think there is an element of supply and demand, in fairness. Like, I'm not rooting all my historical PTs. Like, ultimately, even recently, briefly, because of the throes of COVID, I was in, like, a commercial chain gym again for a couple of training sessions, and it was so fascinating that there were never more than two or three women in the weight section, and inevitably, the women there were doing big compound exercises, deadlifting, squatting, something that was for strength for the whole body. And then we were joined by, even during the pandemic, maybe 30 men, all different shapes and sizes, and all of them were doing tiny little accessory movements to change the way they look. and it was like the two or three women in here are like getting really strong and all you boys are trying to get more defined muscles. Like, yeah. That's how mad. But it is supply and demand. So I suppose the majority of people were probably coming to you as a PT going, I'd like to get thin or I'd like to get muscly.
Yeah. Well,
as opposed to actually strong.
Yeah. I mean, I've always loved training for like having a goal and not like an aesthetic goal, but like when I was at university, I was in the rowing team. So like, you know, we were always training for a particular race. And then when I finished that and moved into, did a couple of marathons, an ultra marathon, a few triathlons, and I was training for that because I always needed something to be training for. And then when I started PTing at Gymbox, actually, and I had some amazing clients. They were brilliant.
I've never been in a Gymbox. It's quite like an, is that like one of, with quite like a nightclub vibe?
Yeah, it's great.
Quite trendy.
I PT people there for about 2 years and I loved it.
Cool.
It was great. But by the, by the end of 2 years, and I've still got girls coming to me saying, I want to change this about me. I don't like this about me. I don't like this about me. Mm. And I was like, okay, so what do you like? Like, give me something positive here. And you know, you want to like help people to try and change their outlook on it a little bit, but you can only do that to a certain extent. When I started training CrossFit myself, I was like, this is amazing because, you know, you get really, really fit. You get, you know, if you are overweight, you do lose weight doing CrossFit, but that's not the goal. The goal is that, you know, you're learning to do pull-ups, you're getting stronger, you're learning to deadlift, and and it's all like kind of small classes, so you can really coach everyone individually. So it's almost PT within a class environment.
It's group PT, isn't it? Basically,
yeah.
It's something that I've never ever been as fit as I am doing CrossFit.
Yeah, you told me you hated cardio.
I hate being out of breath. I don't hate the physical actions of cardio, apart from running, but I'm working on that. I've downloaded the 0-5K app.
Have you?
And I've been out and it was fine. Yeah, I think it's one of those things where I love weightlifting and there's so much of it, so much of CrossFit is weightlifting that I love it all. And it just makes sense that the cardio element of it just makes you better at weightlifting as well.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think it's such a funny thing. It's one of those kind of like really conflicting things where I think in January so many people will be feeling, you know, like they want to make some kind of New Year effort to change their body. That's what the noise all around will be.
Yeah.
Like, get thin, lose weight, now's the time, shed those Christmas pounds, guilty this, sin that. Reward this, bullshit that, and it all just sort of toxifies people's relationships with eating and with their body. Mm. But ultimately, I think it is like it's also possible. I think I'm going to make sure I'm articulate enough about this. It's also possible to just start doing an exercise for the love of it, for the sheer joy that you feel. It's empowering, and it's joyful to do. For me historically, the reason why my involvement in any exercise has been historically brief. It's been because I've been doing it to lose weight, to change my aesthetic, and then you might achieve change temporarily, briefly, but it's so faddy because I never wanted to go. Nothing about the exercise ever made me want to go because I was going in a punitive way to feel like I'd earned food.
Exactly.
And that's mad. It's mad. Whereas if you go, if you find something that brings you joy.
Yeah. And that's why I think
And you get healthier as a byproduct in terms of fitness.
Exactly.
And sometimes, and I'll be honest, the one thing about, not always, you don't always lose weight. I think in sense that if you still are just eating for joy and for fuel and never being hungry, and especially if you're, I don't know, you want to lift heavier. Mm. Then that's not part of everybody's game plan. In terms of my point is, I think it's possible to be incredibly fit without being and still being heavy.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and I also think it's important why, you know, you get some people that are like, you know, CrossFit's the best, everyone has to do CrossFit. And then you get some people that are like, group exercise is the best, everyone should do group exercise. But essentially, everyone just needs to find something that they really enjoy so that they keep going back. Because it's not like a 2-week fix. It's not a month fix. It's not even like a 6-month fix. Like, it's keeping it long term, being consistent, and over time the results will speak for themselves. So you just have to trust the process.
Yes.
But you can't do that if you don't enjoy what you're doing.
No.
You've got to want-
and if you're going in from a place of, I'm doing this because I hate myself and I need to change.
Yeah.
Like, it just is not, it's this worst starting place.
Yeah.
And also, and for some people, it's not going to be CrossFit. For some people, it's going to be like walking or swimming or lacrosse.
Lacrosse, yeah.
Have you ever done that? You've done every other thing.
I've never done lacrosse. No.
We're not posh enough, Nick, to have done lacrosse.
I remember seeing the lacrosse team at university with their like stick things on their back and being like, that looks really cool.
I went from the countryside in Dorset, and I remember seeing them when I got to uni and being like, oh, I think that must be the stuff for lacrosse. They're probably all French. But they weren't French. They were just from posh schools.
Yeah, well, I don't know about you, but did you ever read, like, The Naughtiest Girl at School?
No.
Oh, there was, like, this series of books, and they all went to boarding school, and they all played lacrosse. And it just made me think of that.
Nice. One thing I love is how we had a chat recently in a PT session where you were like, you're so candid about the different ways you have to eat according to what sport you're doing at the time. So I'd love to know more than that, because I've spoken to so many people on this podcast, from like MPs to chefs to all sorts, but I rarely get to talk to like athletes. And I'd love to know like what type of, all the different types of athletes you've been to what you're doing now, which is an insanely amazing weightlifting. What have all those different types of athleticism meant for the types of eating that you've had to do to like peak in each of those things?
Yeah.
And also I definitely want to talk about diabetes as well, because I think there's a lot of myths out there, aren't there?
There are a lot, yeah.
You've probably had to answer that question so many times, but I just think it's just really important.
Yeah, I think
actually.
It's a good
I think
thing
so many
to
people
out.
Are like, yeah. So let's do the sports you've done first.
Okay.
Because also I think there's a lot of myths about that. Like, people think you have to have 18 steaks a day and 4 eggs and nothing else.
Yeah. So I don't think university counts, because I didn't really eat to fuel that. I did quite a bit of drinking instead.
Fair play.
After that, it was some marathons and triathlons.
Wow.
Yeah. So people think I don't run because I'm a weightlifter now. Everyone's like, oh, Nick's rubbish at running. She doesn't run. I just don't train to run anymore. When I was training to run, I was actually pretty good at it, funnily enough.
Yeah.
So with that, I was eating a lot in comparison to what a lot of people think they should be eating anyway. Mainly because, like, long runs, you need the fuel. So I was eating, like, a lot of carbs during training sessions as well. I was always having sweets on me, things like that. So I think, if you look at a photo of me then in comparison to now, I looked like a runner. Like, I was a lot slimmer.
Like a bean pole.
Yeah, like a bean pole. Right. Yeah, basically.
A long-distance runner. Yeah.
And then when I moved into CrossFit, I put on quite a lot of muscle mass, which was great.
So cool.
Yes, because, when I started, I was like, honestly, I think I was snatching like the empty barbell, being like, oh, this is heavy. I remember back squatting 60 kilos and being like, that's amazing. Oh my God, I just hit 60 kilo back squat for one rep. I thought it was like incredible.
It was though.
It was at the time.
It was, because you'd never
really
done it before. Yeah.
So I didn't, when I first started CrossFit, I wasn't thinking too much about what I ate. I was just eating when I was hungry, not really thinking about it. And then I started to get pretty good at CrossFit, but my gymnastics wasn't that great. So I was like, right, I need to drop a little bit of weight in order to just make pull-ups a bit easier, like muscle-ups a bit easier, things like that. So I dropped my weight down a little bit, but my focus was never on trying to lose weight to have a six-pack or whatever. But the focus was I want to be able to link 8-bar muscle-ups together. So in order to do that...
Whoa! 8-bar muscle-ups in a row!
I used to be all right.
That's amazing.
So in order to do that, I had to be a bit lighter. Yeah. So the bar muscle-ups were the focus.
I suppose it's literally just a case of there's less of you to throw to throw around.
Yeah. But at the same time, I didn't want to lose strength or anything. So it was quite a gradual process.
So, and there's a window, I imagine. Oh, it's a gradual process, of course. Yeah. And there's probably... And is there a window of, like, tipping point in that where you... Is there an amount of getting lighter that you do where inevitably then that will affect your strength?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
eventually.
You don't want to take it too far. Okay. So, yeah, I kind of knew where I wanted to be, so work for that. And then... Weightlifting, it was a case of just eating a lot of food.
Yeah,
I mean, generally,
I think that might be why I love it, Nick.
Yeah. I think like CrossFit and weightlifting, you need to eat more than people assume you do.
You do need fuel.
Like honestly, the amount, I don't know if you found it, but like it generally, the first few weeks when people first start CrossFit, they go and do a session, they come home and they fall asleep on the sofa because their body...
I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah, their body is just exhausted. They're just not used.
It's ravaged your central nervous system. Like, and I think most people in our gym have come from a different... What I love about it as well, I mean, what we've ended up doing here is a big-ass advert for CrossFit.
It is.
But it feels like it's a great unifier in the sense that there's people there from dance backgrounds, running backgrounds, a bunch of women from weightlifting backgrounds,
yeah,
like me. But it just
before.
Seems, yeah. And then there's people who've never done anything, and there's people, you know, who've never been in a gym before. And that's extraordinary, isn't it? Actually?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. What I love is you can have like just such like so many different people. So you've got like. The builder can be training next to the surgeon that can be training next to single mum that can be training next to, you know, a total variety of people that probably wouldn't actually mix in real life.
No.
Like we just wouldn't cross paths. But then when you're all
really
in the gym
cool.
training together, there's something pretty cool about that. And also the fact you can have someone that's like an ex-professional athlete doing the same workout as someone who's never trained before. The person not trained before has just adapted the movements and
scaled the movements, so
that's really cool.
It's really cool, but I'm really glad that you said that. For the first, it definitely is around a fortnight, it might have even been a bit longer, I was exhausted in a way where actually at one point I think gigs were happening then, and I had to be like, oh, I think for another week or so, I need to not do specifically a CrossFit class the same day I've got a gig that night.
My
brain wouldn't work. From about 3 o'clock, I'd be like, just totally wrecked.
Yeah.
And also starving, like so hungry, like PMT hungry all the time. And I just had to keep saying to myself, well, it's going to... And also I was lucky because I have a friend, Susie, who had already been doing it for ages. And she was like, I kept remember her saying to me about how great to feel afterwards. I was like, not great yet. But I just had to sort of like, you know, remember that actually give it a few weeks. You're just going to get fitter. Mm. Like you have to get like this. No one would do it if it wiped you out like that forever.
Yeah.
And it's not the case that like you get fitter and then the stuff gets harder as you get fitter.
Yeah.
But ultimately your body just adapts doing that. Regularly having that done to it.
And I think that's the other thing. Like,
and it is addictive. It's really addictive.
There's also
like the
social
endorphins
side of it.
Yeah, like, especially our one. I think in the countryside, I've got friends who've done CrossFit, incredibly brilliant athletic friends who've done CrossFit in the countryside. And I think the ones there where obviously most people will have travelled for at least half an hour in a car to get to them. Those boxes can be quite cliquey, I think, sometimes. So she was like, oh, sometimes a bit cliquey. But, and I was like, no, I think this one will be. And it isn't.
No, it's good, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got a really sociable bunch.
Yeah, and a rut, just like you said, like such a magical hodgepodge.
Yeah.
Of people. Right, let's talk about being diabetic and eating.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, what has that meant? And have you always had diabetes? And what does it mean? I think a lot of people, my mum's also diabetic. I think a lot of people think, oh, people with diabetes can't have any sugar. Mm. And it's like, isn't it? I mean, no.
No, so.
That's rubbish.
Yeah. So.
I'm trying Biscoff on an oat cake, by the way.
Oh,
I give it a 5
it
out of 10.
It,
yeah, I am. It was better just straight off the spoon.
Yeah, plain oat cakes are a bit cardboardy, aren't they?
Yeah, I should have done a layer of butter in between, but that
might
feels
have been
a bit
much.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, I'm getting through it. I'm just getting through it.
Yeah. Takes a while to swallow.
Delicious.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Anyway, diabetes.
Sorry. Yes, sorry.
So I was diagnosed when I was 17. So I was quite old, actually. And I just remember feeling awful for about a year beforehand, I reckon. Yeah, and they reckoned that my pancreas was just switching on and off at that point. So when I was going to have a test, it might switch on. So it wasn't coming up in blood tests or anything. But then it would have its times where it would switch back off and I'd feel terrible. So yeah, I was diagnosed when I was 17. And I just remember being relieved that eventually I knew that there was something wrong with me because I was starting to wonder if it was all in my head. Like I didn't know what was going on. So when I was diagnosed, I was like, oh, okay, I know what it is now. But so we can eat whatever we want as long as we know how much insulin to inject for it. So most people would look at my banana Biscoff toasty and be like, oh, that's a nice banana Biscoff toasty. Whereas I'm like, okay, so there's 30 grams of carbs in the bread, probably 20 grams in the banana, maybe like another 5 in the Biscoff. So we're looking at about 6 units of insulin for that. And that's kind of the calculation you do with everything that you have.
Okay.
Yeah. So sometimes it's a bit of a guessing game. So if you've got like a pizza, you're trying to work out how many carbs are in this, you know, you just have to guess at the end of the day, which isn't ideal, but it is what it is. But yeah, generally we can eat anything. So like a chocolate bar, we can eat a chocolate bar. Generally it tends to say on the back of the packet anyway, how many carbs are in there, so it's not an issue.
Yeah.
So as long as we're aware of what's in it and how much to insulin for it, then it's okay.
Well, that's fascinating. Yeah. And that's to do with, it's not the carb per se, is it? It's the sugar, the type of sugar release.
Well, that as well, So like, if...
Or glycemic index or something, my mum's always talking about.
Yeah, so like a chocolate bar, there's fat in chocolate. Yeah. So that's going to be slow releasing.
Okay.
If I was to insulin for that straight away, that my insulin might take effect before the sugar's been released into the body, in which case my bloods are going to go low and then they're going to go really high. So you have to delay the insulin a little bit to take that into effect. There's a lot to it. It's all very complicated.
It is so complicated. Yeah. And is there, it does the type of exercise that you do impact your insulin for everyone as well? So does that need accounting for?
Yeah, so if I do one rep max back squat, so I'm just lifting heavy, then that takes my blood sugars up, because that's just like the adrenaline, everything from that has an effect. Whereas if I'm going for a 20 minute run, then I know my blood sugars are just going to drop, in which case I need to take jelly babies with me. So it definitely has an effect, but a lot of people think that it's just like, you know, as long as you insulin for what you're eating, then it's fine and you can keep it stable. But actually it's like exercise affects it, how much sleep you've had affects it, is it really cold outside, is it really hot outside, are you stressed, nervous about something, like all of that has an effect on what your blood sugars are doing.
It's a hell of a lot of admin, isn't it? By the sounds of it,
it's a lot of admin. And,
and education in terms of like the amount like you have to know outside of for work anyway about nutrition and yourself and that like connection to your. I suppose, to be honest, like I think. I'm a big advocate for a type of eating called intuitive eating, generally, because all it really means in its base form is you should have what makes you feel good, essentially. But it's about, like, just have what you... Like, if you connect anything more complicated than that to what you're eating, you get into some kinds of pickles. Mm-hmm. And it means, essentially, having a connection to your... And I think it's lots of people's ways out of disordered eating as well, is finding intuitive eating and really doing it. And it's like, it's about connecting what you eat to how you then feel. Mm-hmm. And it feels like eating with diabetes is that times a million, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, I mean...
Like the awareness you must have of like, outside of like getting an alarm go off to say your sugars are up or down, is like... It's intense, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like a big connection to your body.
Yeah, it's kind of both
your
ways,
mind and body.
Because you've got, you have to have a real awareness of how you're feeling all the time. So I know that if my heart rate goes up, starts beating quicker, if I start to feel a bit shaky, or if I start to feel like I'm not quite in the room, even though I am, then I know that my bloods are going low. So you're constantly checking in with how you're feeling. But then I think it's something like if you're diabetic, you're twice as likely to have disordered eating because everything that you eat, you're accounting for. So you're attaching a number to everything that you eat, which isn't healthy either. But it's you know, the only way that, you know, we don't really have a choice in the matter. So it's kind of both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah. It is. It's so interesting to talk to people who have no choice, essentially, but to count carbs.
Yeah.
On a podcast where the main message is free yourself from that obsession where you don't get a choice, actually. Yeah. It's quite like,
it's quite messed
but
up.
You make your peace with it.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know. I don't know.
I think it's that sort of thing where, like, I hear a lot of people say some stuff and I'm like, oh. One is like, oh, I could never inject myself with insulin. Like, I could never inject myself with a needle. And I'm like, yeah, but if you were going to die, you'd do it, wouldn't you? And they're
like, oh. 100%
like,
oh, you'd
do it. Yeah, I guess so, I would. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, you would.
Yeah, quite a naive thing to say, really, mate. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like we've got
my granddad had, in my family, we've got, it's like, I think it's called a type 1.5. And I don't, I'm like an arsehole, don't really understand enough. But my granddad had it and my mum has it. And I mean, we all have to wait till our 50s to find out who in my generation gets it. Who knows? It might be me. But it's been amazingly inspiring to watch how the treatment of it and the awareness of it has improved massively. Mm. I like, in the sense that my granddad went blind because it just wasn't managed well enough. And he did have to inject himself. I remember seeing them in the fridge. His needles were like huge with these great big orange caps on. Yeah. And he had to like get like the needle from a Tom and Jerry cartoon into his leg. Whereas mum has like...
the cartridge one.
It just looks like a pen. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I'm not saying it's not a ball ache. She's like, oh, you know, the bits she puts in regularly hurt a lot and stuff like that. But then the big one overnight and... But I don't know, like,
it has really,
the technology
really
for the treatment.
Forward. Like, I remember when I was diagnosed, it was a needle thing. Well.
Really?
Yeah. But then really quickly it changed to the pen. Well, I used the pen. Yeah. And then pretty much straight after that, I think, I was at university on the rowing team and I was having a nightmare with my blood sugars. Like, so I was in the rowing boat. And as soon as I started rowing, my blood sugars would go low because of
oh, God. And you can't, you got both hands busy, so you can't get a jelly
so
bean
I'm
in.
I'm going, okay, we've got to stop so I can drink this Lucozade. I'm drinking about a bottle and a half of Lucozade in this boat. And I'm like...
Can you wet yourself into the boat at least?
And I'm like, oh, my God, I really need a wee. And I'm stuck in the middle of a river on this boat. And it did get really bad one day. I had to... I was like, look, you're just going to have to pull this boat over to the side. So they were like, really? I was like, yes, I'm going to wet myself. This was before a race. And they pulled over to the side and I like ran out, went behind a tree and then came back into the pump. So that was the problem. So, and then I moved to an insulin pump and it was a lot easier to manage purely because I couldn't deal with the fact of desperately needing a wee after drinking a bottle and a half of Lucozade every time I was on a boat.
Yeah.
So it has come forward. It has definitely moved forward. And then you've got the CGM now, which is continuous glucose monitor. So it alarms when my blood sugars are going high and it alarms when my blood sugars go low. So
amazing.
It gives you time to kind of adapt to it. So, like, if I know my blood sugars are dropping, I've got time to have some jelly babies before they get too low. And same thing if I'm going high, then I've got time to take some insulin before they go too high.
Fascinating.
Yes, next step.
Yes, please, good technology.
Next step, they need to get the CGM to communicate with the pump so that it'll do it all for you.
And then
it'll
just do it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And it can level it all out for
you. I know. That's what we want.
I mean, on a selfish note, I really hope they get that sorted in the next sort of 15 to 20 years, because that's when I'm in my 50s.
Yeah, there we go.
And
you're
all right. Say scrumdiddlyumptious. And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrumdiddlyumptious. I'm going to ask you some general questions about eating that I always ask on this podcast, because this has been too fun. Just talking about general things.
I was going to take a mouthful of food.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I don't know if I definitely don't want another oat cake. That was a dick move on my part. The Biscoff goes so nicely with coffee and I finished my coffee.
Yeah.
I'll taste it with water. I've got water. Try it with all the drinks. I've got a new question. New year, new question. Has there ever been a food that you've been scared of?
Scared of?
I've got like a phobia of their food. Or ever known anyone that had like a phobia of a food or a fear of a food? I used to temp with a lady whose sister was scared of fruit.
Like all fruit?
And why? And she used to chase her around and throw oranges at her. I don't know. Like,
did you know that dogs are scared of lemons? So I think it's the smell. So you cut a lemon in half. I'm sure it's lemons. YouTube it, and you
okay?
You've got these people like shoving lemons to the dog, and the dog like runs away.
I mean, this is the stuff. Yeah. This is the stuff of gold. This is why I started this podcast, Bic.
Yeah.
All that stuff about.
I don't think I've had a phobia of food.
No, me neither. What about eating growing up? Were you a fussy kid, or did you? Were you? What was eating like growing up? Did you get into cooking? Are you into cooking?
I'm not a cooker. Like, I will cook, but it's all that is. You know those people that season stuff? They're like, oh, add a bit of this, add a bit of this.
Yeah, and that's, I'm one
are
of them.
Are you?
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm very plain.
Are you?
So.
It's a funny thing to admit. I'm very plain. I
don't like... Just with cocoa, not generally.
Yeah. No, of course.
No, I was someone who I loved food. But I didn't like vegetables. I was picky,
uh-huh.
But
right.
I ate a lot of probably what I shouldn't have eaten a lot of.
Right, just stuff without vegetables in.
Yeah, no vegetables. yeah, but.
Do you like vegetables now? Did you just grow into liking vegetables?
I don't like
them. Or did you force
them.
Yourself to like vegetables? You still don't like them.
But I will.
You just get
I
them down, you know.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not like, you can enjoy them in a nice context. Can you enjoy them?
Yeah. And,
great.
You know, if you're like my mum, who, you know, she seasons some stuff, unlike me, then the broccoli can taste quite nice.
Yeah. I was like, I can take or leave broccoli. I'll put it away when it's required. And then some years ago, everybody started roasting broccoli, and that changed the game for me. That is so delicious compared to, like, I feel like growing up was all boiled broccoli.
Boiled.
It was all like soft and squelchy and gross, and now everything's roasted basically, and it's so much nicer.
I love roast vegetables. That I do like.
How do you reckon you'd get on in space then if you only just had like pouches of baby food to eat? If you say you're not that into seasoning, do you reckon you'd be all right there? Just on like, you know, Huel or some shit that didn't really taste of anything. It's just fuel.
I'll be okay.
Would you?
I think I can do that.
Wow. I mean, that is so impressive to me. I would lose my mind.
Because I think, I could just eat food for fuel.
Amazing.
I'm not worried.
Amazing. Yeah. Do you think a lot of people that, that end up as sports people have that? Don't drop the biscuit off. I think it lends itself well to a life as an athlete.
I think it does.
That being able to see food as fuel.
Yeah, because
doesn't
essentially.
It? Because if you're someone who's like, I want this to taste like this, and I miss the flavour of that and the smell of that, then you just, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's harder to. Yeah.
Food is basically fuel. Right?
Oh, it's so much more than fuel. But yes, it can be.
Technically,
on paper, it's when it's a matter of life or death, it's 100% fuel. In fact, that is absolutely, I mean, it's just a fundamental truth, isn't it? There's no arguing with the fact that food is fuel.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with a bit of extra fuel.
Oh, nothing wrong with a bit of extra fuel. It's the winter. have you ever had a fight about food or a food fight?
Oh, I probably
with
have
a sibling
both.
Or
so
both.
I get really upset when I'm hungry. Like, you know, people get angry. I just get very emotional.
It's gonna be a word for it, so it's hangry, isn't it? So maybe it's
upset.
Like had upset.
I get upset.
Hashtag hupset. I love
that.
That's brilliant. Yeah, very nice.
Honestly, I just end up in tears when I'm really, really hungry.
I'd be better company if I went to tears instead of, I'd get irritable. I'm not quite angry, but just a little bit snippy.
Yeah. What really stresses me, I met my friend John this morning. We just like walked in for to get a takeaway coffee. And I had a very set plan in my head. I was like, right, I'm going to coach this class and then I'm going to meet him for coffee. By the time we get coffee, I can come back. I can eat my food. That's my day sorted. Fine. He was 25 minutes late.
Oh,
which
no.
meant that when we got back from coffee, I wasn't going to have time to eat. But I'm waiting like 15 minutes and I'm like, right, it's going to be late. And I'm like, he's not going to be half an hour late. So we'll probably be like 20 minutes late, which gives me 5 minutes. So I'm not going to be able to eat my breakfast now. So what am I going to do? So I ended up just having like a trek bar. And then he got here and I was like, you've messed up my whole day. Because I had
so then you had a really eggy walk
of when I was going to eat. And now you're late. You've messed up my plan and I don't know when I'm going to eat. That stresses me out. I told him that as well.
Yeah, well, it sounds really stressful.
He's your biggest fan.
From one very organised woman to another, I hear your pain. Yeah. It's not on John. Turn up on time. Hangover, not that I know, you're a fitness person who probably doesn't have hangovers very often, but back in the day when you did, what would be your go-to thing to eat with a hangover to help it?
Oh, so I'd always have a banana.
Very good.
And loads of peanut butter on toast.
Yeah. Yummy.
Yeah, we went through the phase of McDonald's breakfast, but realised that actually made us feel 10 times worse than the peanut butter on toast.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
Peanut butter on toast.
Yeah.
But I remember being at university and we were like, if we get the chips after a night out, we won't be as badly hungover in the morning. So we always...
That's true. You make all sorts of like... You make all sorts of weird logic calls that are probably based in no science at all about absorbing the booze, don't you? In those late night food decisions. You're like, just get the food equivalent of sponges.
Yeah.
Just get chips, like pita. Yeah. Like, just soak it up, all that chat. And you're like, I'm not sure it's doing anything at that stage. And then I think the damage is done, lads. You can drink 18 pints of water, might give you a helping hand. But that's probably about it. If there was no other option, would you eat a person?
Do I have to kill them?
It's up to you. I've left the question open on purpose. So your answer can be, no, I wouldn't kill them. But if they were already like dead and or cooked. Sometimes even asking the question freaks me out, but I've been fascinated by people's answers.
So I would, because you want to survive, right?
Yeah.
Everyone, am I a terrible person for saying that? No, human.
No, that's what the vast majority of people
want to survive. Yeah. I don't think I could kill them.
Yeah. Do you think you could kill an animal if you had to in the wild to survive, to eat? I'm pretty confident I could.
See,
but I don't know about killing a person.
I think I could kill an animal, but I think I'd cry the whole time I was doing it and like squeal.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be like, and I'd have to shut my eyes.
Yeah. Although the more I talk about it, the more I think. I think there's some people I'd be happier to kill than most animals. It's just about, oh God. I mean, you don't need to feel bad. I think the vast majority of people have said yes. The vast majority of people.
Has anyone said that they'd kill them?
Yeah, and I have had an amazing musical comedy double act called Flo and Joan on, and they talked me through in detail how they'd butcher them. Because I've got dark little hearts.
No, I couldn't do that.
Either. 2021 wakes up ready to start existing, but it looks at 2020 and it refuses to. It says it won't even get out of bed and we have to stay in this shitty year forever. It's horrific. Humans and beasts alike all kick off, Nick. And then luckily, 2021 decides it will be up to it and it will exist so we can have a fresh start and a new year, but only if you, and weirdly it does have to be you, carry two lions all the way to Anglesey and back again in just half a day. And the only breaks you're allowed are if you ride the lions and they're bumpy and keep trying to throw you off. It sounds impossible, but you do it. You're a hero. Your award is the adulation of all people for all time for saving us from being trapped in the year 2020. But your reward in the moment, and bearing in mind you are the happiest and the hungriest it's possible to be, is the feast of your dreams. So basically, this is like the opposite of a last meal. It's like, what would the feast of your dreams be if, like, it's this fantasy. Nothing has to be possible. Nothing has to be ethical. No consequences. I don't give a shit about consequences. There's no diabetes. There's no animal rights. There's nothing, like, it's just the food and drink of your dreams. I want to know what you'd eat, what you'd drink, and if there's a who, with, and where. And in all of these examples that I give people in the run-up to this, I give them, like, a type of exertion from, like, making 2,000 beds to whatever. But for yours, I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to have to think of something really hard to do because you've already run ultra marathons. So that's why I came,
like,
up with all the...
That sounds like a great challenge.
Yeah. Couple of lions.
Yeah. I was like, this you can see it.
It's mad they haven't got lions in the CrossFit Games. Give it another 10 years.
Know,
it's getting more and more Hunger Games, isn't it? They will have live animals. Yeah. Sorry. What would the feast of your dreams be? Is the question.
Okay. So I would have. Can we, like, go through the whole process?
Yes, please.
Okay. So I'd start off with loads of hummus, loads of hummus. But you know, in Nando's, when it comes with the, have you got the hummus from Nando's before with the peri peri sauce?
Yeah, I love it.
So I would have that with.
Oh God, I can't wait till Nando's is back open. Sorry, yeah.
Deliveroo Nando's.
I hadn't even thought of that. Oh my
what
God.
Have you been doing? Okay,
I mean, we're talking on New Year's Day. I've not been having Nando's.
What?
What? Okay, right.
Okay,
get back
so
on that. Sorry
Nando's
for interrupting.
Nando's peri peri sauce with hummus.
Yeah.
With pita, warmed up though, yeah. Like properly toasted. I'd have that, and then I would have. I need to get some peanut butter in there, but I don't know where to put it in. Because it seems weird to have hummus.
Just have it with a spoon
butter.
If you want. This is the fantasy meal of your...
Yeah,
it's fantasy.
French stick with Marmite peanut butter. Yes. And then there's some more French stick with actual peanut butter and jam mixed together. Very good.
yes.
And then my meal would be... This sounds really bad because I'm meant to be pescatarian. But steak.
No. Yes.
Steak with... sweet potato fries and some kind of sauce or something. Some tasty sauce.
Peppercorn one?
Yeah.
Or like...
Yeah, ketchup for the chips as well.
Yeah.
Yep. And then...
Great.
Dessert, I would have loads of profiteroles. And...
Yummy.
I'd have loads more chocolate, and I was going to say ice cream, but not really for ice cream. Strawberries as well. I like strawberries.
Mm. I like the idea of strawberries and profiteroles. Have the profiteroles got like cream
separate.
In and chocolate on, like tiny eclair? Oh,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, you can't
sorry.
Mix the fruit with the chocolate because I find that a bit weird.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, so profiteroles separate, eat all those.
Have you seen those fountains people have, like of liquid chocolate that you're meant to dip a strawberry in? Does that, you're not into that?
So I like the, I can't get my head, I'll drink the chocolate on its own. And then I'd eat the fruit on its own.
Okay.
Separate.
Lovely.
Not mixed together.
Okay. I hear you. And what are you having to drink with this?
Oh.
No consequences.
Oh. I would have, it would have to be some form of cocktail. Probably a gin cocktail with elderflower.
Yum.
Or, yeah, probably elderflower, gin, mixed with something else.
Glorious.
With a fancy straw.
Glorious. Lush.
Yeah. On the beach. By the sea.
On the beach.
Oh, you asked my location, right? Definitely by the sea.
Yeah, I did.
On the beach, getting a tan. Yes.
I love the idea of you being like sunbathing on a beach.
Eating steak.
And while someone brings you French steak and French stick with Marmite. I don't know if anyone's ever had French stick with Marmite by the sea.
No.
And that's, it sounds great. That's why this brilliant, the brilliant answer. Yeah. Glorious. Magical. Thank you so much, mate. Thank you.
What a belting guest, and what a way to kick 2021 off. Over the moon. I think Nicola's amazing. She's on Instagram as Nick Stiddard Lifts, NICSTIDDARD Lifts. Prepare to have your blooming mind blown by how insanely strong she is, and how easy she makes weightlifting, Olympic weightlifting look. Also, follow her whole actual gym on the internet. Why don't you? It's CrossFit Catford on the Instagrams. It might be where I train. If you are local to Catford or South East London and want to actually have a pop at CrossFit, I like it. Go to crossfitcatford.com. Get on the waiting list. And I've genuinely never been in a friendlier, more inclusive, and there's no mirrors. It's just a very lovely gym. As ever, links to everything I've just said there are in the podcast notes. Also, I really loved it when Nicola coined the phrase hupset instead of hangry. So I reckon we could get that going as a hashtag, don't you? It would make me very tickled and very smug if we did. Want to try Oddbox? Some wonky fruit and veg, although it seems to be absolutely nothing wrong with it ever. You can get a tenner off your first box if you use a link that's in my podcast notes or in the Twitter bio if you're following at the Hoovering Pod. Follow the podcast on there. It makes it only a few quid for a box, which is very cool. Feel free to support the podcast with lovely reviews, recommendations, or with cold hard wedge. Either on Acast Supporter to bung it a one-off amount of pennies, or on Patreon. Links to those as well also in the podcast notes. Follow me if you like to, at Jessica Foster Q. Anything longer than a tweet to send me, as ever, I'd love to hear from you, and you can email me through my website, jessicafosterq.com. That's also where I will be keeping my gig list up to date, including online gigs, and hopefully for when it's allowed, rescheduled tour shows. Huge thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham, and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, happy hoovering.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.